you're gonna lead this study tonight? We did not go to, we didn't do chapter 17 last week, so we're at 17 still.
Okay.
Isn't that where you stopped, is it 17?
Is that?
Last week, we looked at Ephesians.
The Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again, he will choose Israel and will settle them in their own land. Aliens will join them and unite with the house of Jacob. Nations will take them and bring them to their own place. And the house of Israel will possess the nations as men servants and maidservants in the Lord's land. They will make captives of their captives and rule over their oppressors. On the day the Lord gives you relief from suffering and turmoil and cruel bondage, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has come to an end.
Let's hold it there.
I don't even know where we're at here.
See?
We're on chapter 14, verse, she's read through verse 3.
I know, I can't, it's hard to follow.
And the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. Why would God need to have mercy on Jacob? Anybody tell me? By Jacob, is he talking about just the man, Jacob himself?
No. All the descendants of Jacob.
Yeah, he's talking about the entire nation of Israel, that God would have mercy on them. And he will, I will still choose Israel. So why is he saying still he'll have mercy and he will still choose them?
Because these other aliens will come in?
Mm-hmm. But why would they even be a threat of the aliens coming in? And this is not talking about people coming from outer space. Let's talk about other nations.
All right.
Okay. First off, God had given them laws and rules to obey, and they had continued to turn away from God and to disobey God, and to, so when God made it known that he's going to have mercy on them in spite of.
Praise God.
Yeah, and that he will still choose Israel as his people.
Yeah.
Of all the other nations on the planet, he still, he said, I'm still choosing Israel as my people. Okay? And I will settle them in their own land, even though they had been scattered out in other into other nations and other countries. And other, he said, I will still settle them in their own land. I will bring them back to their own land. And strangers will be joined with them and will cling to the house of Jacob. Because some of the people will have learned from Israel while Israel was cast out into their land. Some of the people had seen some of the things that God had done, and they would leave their own countries and come back, and they would want to be with the Israelites, okay? Then the people will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them for servants. Where Israel, the Israelites had been servants in these other nations for these other people, now they're going to come and they're going to have to serve the Israelites. That's really something to think about. And the Lord will take them captives, whose captives they were.
Wow. Yes.
And rule over their oppressors.
Yes.
People that have been ruling over them. Suddenly now, Israel is going to be ruling over those people. So that's showing the grace, the mercy that God's going to give to these people, even though they've rebelled against him so many times, God would still continue. When they would ask, cry out and pray to God, God would still turn and show them mercy anyway.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
And it's that way in our lives also. I don't know, because some of you may never have missed God before or anything. But I do thank him that in my life, where I have missed him,
yes,
and I have cried out to him, he He is showing mercy to me. So that's the kind of God that he is. Okay.
That you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased.
Mm-hmm.
The golden city ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
The scepter of the rulers. He who struck people in wrath and a continual stroke. He who ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and no one hinders.
Okay. So what do we see here? Do we see a change taking place here? What do we see happening here? You have another country that God's dealing with.
Which is Babylon.
Right. He's dealing with Babylon. Now Babylon had been the oppressor. But it says now the oppressor has ceased. The one that was acting so rash and so harsh against all other nations at the time, said, has ceased, and the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked. They were so bad at one time, they were acting so bad at one time, it said God has broken their staff and the scepter of the rulers. The scepter was a sign that a ruler had, a staff that he would hold as a sign that he was the one in charge. So it says God has broken the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and no one hinders. So God says he's getting back at him now and nobody can stop it. So
finally things got turned back around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where God is blessing the children of Israel.
Yes.
And judging those who he used. One of the principles I see in the Word of God is you don't ever want to be used as a instrument of God's judgment.
No.
Because
no.
It'll turn around and come back on you
yes.
when he's done.
Yes.
And that's what's happening right here in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
God used Babylon to judge Israel and
mm-hmm.
chasten them for their sinfulness and so on and so forth. Now you find God reverses
mm-hmm.
the whole thing, and now Israel is ruling over Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you see, isn't it great to know that God will not always be angry with us?
Amen.
No, when we really mess up, you may be chastened short term, but he will also restore us.
Amen.
That's a good
thing. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyone else? Verse 7.
The whole earth is at rest and quiet.
Ooh, that's
they
interesting.
They bring forth into singing.
Yes.
Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us.
Okay. So, now when he says that, once again, when we talk about things, we have to understand symbolism sometimes as opposed to things directly happening. The cypress trees and the cedars of Lebanon actually singing to you or saying this to you?
No.
No, they aren't actually saying it, but it is you're feeling it such a way that you're feeling so good, it's almost like the trees are even singing to you. Okay? And so you go out and the wind is blowing and all, and it's like the trees are even singing to you because God, his mercy has turned so much towards you and you're receiving so much of his love. And it's saying, even though you were cut down at one time, no woodsman has come up against us. So that one time, yes, you were going through it. But when God brought you back up, now nobody is able to come against you again. Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from the throngs all the kings of the nations.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Now what's going on here? What? What's going on here?
is excited about you.
Huh?
The other people are excited for them, but they know nobody is coming against them then?
Not quite. Let's read a little bit more.
One of the things I got thinking about, by the way, we need to be careful of how we deal with other people, especially if God is using us for correction. Because what we sow, we will reap more than we sow, later than we sow.
That's a natural law.
So we need to be careful if God uses us, that we are do to others what we want them to do to us. Okay, go ahead. It's just something that I saw there, because Babylon was really hard on the people, and you know what happened? They got it back harder.
They got harder.
So, so be careful when God uses you to correct somebody. Do it with the same tenderness, gentleness, and love and mercy as you want God to deal with you.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. As you read now, I'm going to let you go ahead and read a few verses so you can really catch on to what's going on here. So let's go. Let's start at verse 9 again.
Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming.
Mm-hmm.
It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their throngs all the kings of the nations. They shall all speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we?
Mm-hmm.
Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you.
Okay.
How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
son of the morning.
Now you see who he's talking to. Okay. When he said that hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming, it's talking, not talking about Babylon here, it's talking about Lucifer.
And who is Lucifer? What's that?
The devil.
The devil, or Satan, or whatever.
Yes.
So
this is when he is cast down.
When is he cast down? Okay.
He was cast from heaven.
So he's not talking about the last end judgment. He's talking about when? When God cast him out of heaven.
Yes.
Because he said, I'll be like the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And God cast him out with a third of the angels.
Right.
That was before the few chapters back that we read.
Well, after the earth was created, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not talking about in the last judgment and Revelation chapter 22, where he's cast into the pit forever, the fiery pit forever.
For 1,000 years.
He's 1,000 years loosed and then thrown in the pit for eternity after that. It's not that one, it's the one when he tried to take over heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so they're going to look at you and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Have you become as weak as us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol or hell, and all that pride that you had and all that has been brought down. And you got maggots spread over you and worms cover you. All that you thought you were.
He was a musician, chief musician or something.
Yes,
then, wasn't he?
Exactly.
That's why I said something about this sound of his stringed instruments.
He was the head of worship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In heaven. Worship leader in
heaven.
And he was one of the one that glorified God until he came to the point of saying, you know what? I'm going to take that glory. I'm going to take that praise. I'm not going to praise him anymore. And a third of the angels rose up with him.
Yep.
Boggles the mind.
Yes. Can you imagine?
Okay.
For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God.
Mm-hmm.
I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
So this is what he had in mind doing. He had rose up in that much, risen up in that much pride that he's gonna be like God, okay? That he's gonna exalt his throne against the farthest sides of the north. And so, and that's what he thought he was gonna be able to do.
That's what he's saying he's gonna do.
Yes, but verse 15, we get a different indication of what might happen.
Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit.
To the lowest depths. There are different levels of hell. And he said, you're going to be cast down to the lowest depths of the pit. Okay?
Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners?
They're going to be surprised. Those that are there are going to be surprised when they see him. Okay, when, is this the one?
Yeah, the people so feared.
All the kings of the nations, all of them, sleep in glory, everyone in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities.
So you see how much worse his punishment is going to be than anybody else that's going to be cast down that goes to hell. His punishment is going to be so much worse. But look at what his sin was. He was one of the most highly exalted angels of God. And then he decides he's going to be like God. In fact, he's going to build him a throne and make his throne equal with God, if not higher than God's. And so therefore, he's cast down lower. And you know, it's when you think about it, it just shows you how things work in the spirit realm. Why is Jesus so highly exalted?
Because he humbled himself and became man.
Exactly. He became, he put himself down to the, and allowed himself to be put in the lowest place. Therefore, when God raised him up, he raised him up to the highest place. Here Satan is wanting to be exalted and be above God, and he had to go down to the lowest place. Jesus chose to come down to lower himself, and God exalted him highly. Satan wanted to exalt himself, and so he ended up being lowered. So,
didn't God though say that he was sending his son, that Jesus actually come up with that first?
He had
come with up what came up with what first?
To come to earth.
From the foundations of the earth he was slain. So yes, that means God knew before he ever created the heavens and earth that Jesus would have to come and die. That was his plan.
They had already, you got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit working together.
Yes,
had already planned
you are
it
correct.
Out.
The thing that kind of is a little
confusing,
for me is always thought of the angels as not having free will. Like, you know, They were created and they put to work to do this and that was it. And here we see that he must have had some kind of free will because he had the free will to choose to exalt himself or not.
Yes.
You know?
They had free will. The only thing is they have no place for repentance.
Well, they still do, yeah.
Right, that was the thing.
However, unlike them, we do have a place for repentance.
That's right.
Yeah.
They don't.
Right.
Because that's because they were in his presence. There's no excuse whatsoever. They ain't no guesses about it, you know? That's
interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. Mm-hmm. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand.
Okay, so if it was his plan, it's going to happen.
Yes.
Regardless to what how things look and what God's plan is going to come to pass. All right? And he said he's going to just totally destroy Babylon. And so I will sweep it with the broom of destruction.
Yep.
So he's going to destroy it. And then he's because I have planned and purposed this, it will stand. Yep. It will come to pass. That was part of the message from Sunday about what do you believe and why do you believe it? Well, because God said it and God's word he cannot lie. If he declares it, it will come to pass. Okay. 24.
By the way, when it says porcupine, I wonder why he uses that word or concept.
Because they have needles on them?
Yeah, they have needles on
them. Well, everything that gets close to it gets hurt.
So when I sweep it and when you use the prickers of the porcupine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. It says the broom of destruction.
Yes.
I guess it could be porcupine.
It's a pretty
needles.
Wicked broom, yeah.
Okay.
That I will break the Assyrian in my land and on my mountains tread him underfoot.
Mm.
Then his yoke shall be removed from them and his burden removed from their shoulders.
Praise God.
Yes, so that's taken as far as what the Assyrians have done to Israel also. He's going to rid them of that also. The yoke that the Assyrians put on them, the burden that they have put on them, he's going to remove that from them also.
This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has proposed, and who will annul it?
Amen.
His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
This is the burden which came in the year that King Ahaz died.
So this is another nation that had risen against Israel, the Philistines, and in the year that their king died, this is what was declared.
Do not rejoice, all you of Philistia, because the rod that struck you is broken. For out of the serpent's roots will come forth a viper, and its offspring will be a fiery flying serpent.
Mm.
Is that a dragon?
Could be.
What's that?
Is that a dragon?
That fiery flying serpent he's talking about.
Yep.
Kind of sound like.
Yep.
The firstborn of the poor will feed, and the needy will lie down in safety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I will kill your roots with famine, and it will slay your remnant. Wail, O gate, cry, O city, all you of Philistia are dissolved, for smoke will come from the north, and no one will be alone in his appointed times. What will they answer? What will they answer the messengers of the nation? That the Lord has found Zion, and the poor of his people shall take refuge in it.
Okay, so. Have again, we're in how God is showing that he is going to rescue his people, this time from Philistia, or the Philistines. And he has come, and that Zion represents Israel, it could represent Israel or the church, or the, a combination of the two. And the poor of his people shall take refuge. And so that means we will find our safety, our peace in God. Okay. Anyone else?
For smoke will come from the north, is that? Way of Old Gate, Cryo City, for the smoke will come from the north.
Okay.
Is that another country?
No, no. Actually, the north, many times in the Bible, represents where the kingdom of God, where heaven is actually located.
Oh.
Yeah. You remember when it talks about how the leaders of nations and all said promotion does not come from the south, the east, or the west? Notice, it doesn't say from the north. That's where the kingdom, and many times the kingdom of God is referred to as being in the north. So that which destroys the nation of the Philistines will come, and it won't necessarily be literal fire, but it will be the wrath of God that comes and destroys their nation.
What verse are we in now?
We're moving on to chapter 15.
15?
Yep.
One. Chapter 15:1.
Yep. Somebody want to read?
Oh, you want me to?
My voice is
okay. The burden against Moab.
All right, so here we have another one that he's going to deal with.
Because in the night Ar of Moab is laid waste and destroyed, because in the night Ker of Moab is laid waste and destroyed, he has gone up to the temple and Dibon, to the place, to the high places, to weep. Moab will wail over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads will be baldness, and every beard cut off.
What does that represent? It's them humbling themselves, because
yep.
their hair meant
yep.
a lot.
Yep.
And if you notice in all those cults, they had long hair and long beards and all that.
Well, didn't that I'm trying to think of who was part of his
yeah, David's
repentance
man.
And that. He shaved every
there you go.
Shaved his heads and
okay, yeah.
everything, yeah.
Yeah, as part of humility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, where is in their streets they will clothe themselves with sackcloth. On the tops of their houses and on in their streets, everyone will wail, weeping bitterly. Heshbon and Aaliyah will cry out. Their voice shall be heard as far as Jahaz. Therefore, the armed soldiers of Moab will cry out. His life will be burdensome to him.
So even though he has been in this position of kingship, of leadership and all, says when all of this punishment happens and this they're being humiliated and all of a sudden his life will be burdensome to him. His entire life will be burdensome to him. Okay.
My heart will cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee to Zoar like a three-year-old heifer, for the ascent of Lehith, they will go up with weeping, and for in the way of Horonium, they will raise up a cry of destruction.
Okay, so you'll have even people feeling like this man will be so destroyed and then put down and all the Moab that people will feel sorry for him. My heart will cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee to Zora, the people of his nation are going to leave in flight. And it's like a 3-year-old heifer that would be, I mean, talking about something running real fast, and but at the same time not being as strong as it as a full grown heifer would be. But they'll be fleeing and weeping. So
what are they fleeing?
From they're being punished.
From God's judgment.
Exactly.
Good luck with that.
All of these verses that we're going through now is God judging nations that have come against and oppressed Israel. Because these are, remember when we started.
Because what you got to remember, even in their disobedience, they are still God's people.
Chosen. That's his chosen. Yes. Right.
By the way, we are still God's chosen too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Remember, we studied that last week from Ephesians where he chose us, he adopted us, and so on. So, however, he does chasten us when we are off track.
Mm-hmm.
Why? To get our attention. To get our attention, to get us back on track.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's not, his chastening isn't just to make you hurt or whatever. He's saying, I want you to get back on track, so I'm going to put the pressure on so you'll go back to being on track.
And yeah, when you're herding sheep, you got to chase them to the way you want them to go.
There you go.
Okay.
For the waters of Nimrim will be desolate, for the green grass has withered away. The grass fails, there is nothing green. Therefore, the abundance they have gained and what they have laid up, they will carry away to the brook of the willows.
All the good
brook.
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 All the prosperity that they had, it will be carried away. Because they're going to remember, they leave. And go and flee to Zoar, and so they're having to carry all these things that they had that had been prosperous to them. They got to carry all that stuff away with
them.
Well,
they'll only be able to carry what they can carry, too,
right.
And
yes.
Leave the rest behind.
Right,
yep.
Yes. Okay.
Say, carry away the brook of Moab. For the cry has gone all around the borders of Moab, it's wailing to Eglon. And it's wailing to Beer Elam. For the waters of Dimon will be full of blood, because I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon him who escapes from Moab, and the remnant of the Lord.
So let you know, yeah, get away. I don't care. They can run, they can whatever they take, but they're not going to be able to escape. Because even though they might be able to flee from the armies, God said, I will bring the lions upon those who escape from Moab and trying to get to the other place, to Zoar. He said that he's bringing the lions upon them and on the remnant of the land, those that still remain, they're going to be destroyed. So there's no getting away from it. That's what we have to understand. There's no getting away from the punishment of God if you know that you are doing wrong, and especially against the people of God, because God will make sure that you are caught.
Well, God is a God of justice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he makes justice is him making that which is wrong right.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying is, when I gave you the privilege, the opportunity to do it, what you did was you misused it. Now you're going to get sold back to you because you will get more than you sowed later than you sowed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, I want your punishment is going to be greater than what you gave out.
Yeah. And you know, and again, as far as nature is concerned, with almost everything, what you sow is always less than what you reap. You know, you plant a seed in something, and when it grows, usually what comes out of it is a whole lot more. You plant an apple seed, apple tree grows, you're not going to get just one apple. an orange seed, orange tree, you go, you don't get just one orange. You know, watermelon seed, you don't just get just one watermelon. Whatever you sow, you just get a whole lot more than what you sow. So we gotta be careful about how we deal, especially as Pastor said, concerning people, concerning God's people. We'll receive a whole lot more as far as punishment from evil that we do for God's people are concerned.
That goes for sowing bad as well as good.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. We can go ahead and get some of chapter 16 in here, not all of it.
Okay. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land. From Sela to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest, so shall be the daughters of Moab at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Hide the outcasts. Do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcasts dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter for them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at the end. Devastation ceases, and oppressors are consumed out of the land.
So, it looks like here what God is saying in verse 3 there, take counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcast, do not retreat, and who escapes. And so there are some that will get away, and he's saying that you should, if it is a way that you can help them, that you should, okay? And that's not help them in their evil doing or anything like that, but where they actually truly need help, that you should try to, as best you can, help them. So let my outcast dwell with you, Moab. Moab was, had been so out of place as far as the things of God. That's why he's being punished. And he's saying, now he's making it known that be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. So he said, help those people, that even those that were sent in to punish them, those that you had, because even in nations where the nation itself is messed up and against God and all, you can always have some people in there that are still doing right.
It's called the remedy.
Yeah, right.
Kind of like America.
Yeah, exactly.
So you say, help them. And destruction, devastation ceases, and their oppressors are consumed out of the land. Verse 5.
In mercy, the throne will be established.
Mm-hmm.
And one will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness.
Okay.
Who's going to sit on that throne?
That would be Lord Jesus, wouldn't it?
What's that?
Jesus, huh?
He's the only one that's worthy to
great
judge.
Judge.
Mm-hmm. Judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. Okay.
We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Therefore Moab shall wail for Moab, everyone shall wail, for the foundations of Kir Hareseth shall mourn. Surely they are stricken.
Mm-hmm.
For the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Shebah, the lords of the nations have broken down its choice plants, which have reached to Jazer and wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out, and they are gone over the sea.
What's he talking about, branches?
That's,
what's he talking about when he's talking about branches? He's talking about a people.
Yeah.
He's talking about a people that are attached to the original, but they've grown outside the border. And so he's talking, when he's talking about that, he's talking about their people.
Therefore, I will bewail the vine of Sibmah. With the weeping of Jezer, I will drench you with my tears. O Heshbon and Eliah, for the battle cries have fallen over your summer fruits and your harvest. Gladness is taken away, and joy from the plentiful field in the vineyards, there will be no singing.
So there's a lot of suffering going on.
Yes, a whole lot of suffering.
Nor will there be shouting, no treaders will tread out the wine in the presses. I have made their shouting cease. Therefore my heart shall resound like a harp for Moab, and my inner being for Keres. And it shall come to pass, when it is seen that Moab is weary on the high place, that he will come to his sanctuary to pray, but he will not prevail.
Okay, that's even when he seems to have come to a place of repentance. He's grown weary of all his pride, being walking in all his pride he's been walking in and all. And he will come to his sanctuary to pray, but it won't help. He's gone too far with it, and it won't help.
This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hired man, the glory of Moab will be despised with all that great multitude, and the remnant will be very small and feeble.
So 3 years, said within 3 years, as the years of a hired man, the glory of Moab will be despised. All that pride, once again, the pride we talked about that he was walking in, thinking he was all of that, will be despised with the great multitude and the remnant that we spoke of, that was talked about, that God was saying about to look out for, protect. When the enemy comes against you, that remnant will be very small and feeble. It'll only be a few. So we have to be careful that we really seek God, that regardless of how things go in this nation or anywhere that we are, that we want to be a part of his remnant. We want to be, regardless of what people say about you, how people act towards you and all, you want to be a part of God's remnant. Okay?
So, there is a time that God chastens and judges.
Yes.
His purpose is to bring us back to him.
Exactly.
Any of you ever been there?
Yes.
I've been there.
Yes.
Okay. But the good thing is, if we will respond, God will not always strive with us.
That's right.
That's the good news. As he said, I won't always strive with you. However, the striving I do is for your good, not mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when I chasten you, it's important we embrace that chastening of the Lord and see it as his love, because it really is his love.
Amen.
Because his goal is to bring us back to him.
Yep.
So,
Amen.
It's really... It's really sad. It's really sad, though, when you think of the glory that Lucifer had at one time, and see how far he can fall.
Yep.
The same thing can happen to us.
Amen.
And we need to realize any of us can fall if we will become prideful and high-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to be giving God all the glory that he is worthy of.
You know, we're all guilty of that, but even me, but I just can't fathom that. I just can't, it's hard for me to get my head around turning against what you know, what you've seen, what you've been involved in, and then turning like that around. It just, I just can't.
However, there's been lots of people, even in our society, mm-hmm. in my short life, one of the prime people, one of the greats in building the kingdom of God in the church in America was Jimmy Swaggart.
Yep.
And Jimmy Swaggart, I mean, he actually supported most of the missionaries at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
He was so blessed, and God was so, his anointing was on him mightily, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
However, he ended up going out and having an affair with a prostitute, and so on and so forth. And when they tried to correct him, what was his response? I will not step down. Okay? He said, I will not step down. And that was pride. Had he humbled himself mm-hmm. and said, I was wrong, I said, they wanted him to take 2 years mm-hmm. to get his feet back underneath him, but he wouldn't step down, and today you hardly even hear,
right.
hear very little or whatever.
Right.
So we have seen people such as that. Mm-hmm. And how about you and I? It can
Amen.
Happen to us.
Amen.
Okay? And we never want to lose sight of it. That's why I say we need to be very careful how we deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay? Because what you sow, you will reap. And it's very important we're careful.
Amen.
So, by the way, there's lots of others, but just recently in this last couple of years, several have fallen.
Several
of the high people that God used mightily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them volunteered and stepped down and humbled themselves. So the results for them is going to be very different than the ones that said, no, I won't step down, and so on. Because God will humble us.
Amen.
So we need to choose to humble ourselves, not require God to humble us.
Okay, anything, anyone, anything else? Any questions or comments? Okay, someone want to give us a closing prayer?
God, we realize, but for your mercy and grace, the Moabites, we could be them the very same way.
Yes.
God, we know it's your mercy that is to bring us back to a right place with you.
Yes, Lord.
So God, as might we hear the warning, might we heed to the warning, and help us.
Help us.
To humble ourselves before you.
Yes, Father.
We realize if there's anything good in us, it's because of you.
Yes.
We give you the praise, we give you your honor, we give you your glory, and we just ask that as we leave this place tonight, you'll bring this back to us when and if we need it.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.